rocking and rolling, Pain in the Morning Friday, August 21st. A lot of news happening today. I just like screwing around with the mixing board. I don't know. I would do this. If somebody got me this as a gift, I would just sit around and do this. But I get to talk to you folks. It's a win-win. How can you not like life? You got your own podcast. People care what you have to say. You must be doing something right. Little Robert Palmer. Tell me you don't remember Robert Palmer in high school or college. Putting some of the music on, little Robert Palmer, trying to make some moves. Yeah. Big Friday, a lot of stuff going on. We're coming off, I'll tell you one thing's really got a lot of traction is the Big Wednesday podcast we did. And it dovetails exactly with what's going on today with shocking indictments of Steve Bannon and some of his cohorts and the We Build the Wall. What was once was a We Build the Wall movement, according to the Justice Department, is a We Build the Wall scheme. And there were others warning folks about that as it unfolded. But dangerous to try to preach common sense to the mob. People just lining up to give their money away after the beautiful people start retweeting things. And give your money to these people. It's a good idea. Oh, yeah, yeah. You say something negative. Oh, you're not on our side, man. So we'll get into that later. Stick around. Could get interesting. We appreciate the folks out there on patreon.com/truepundit. And subscribestar.com/truepundit. I think we're going to start rolling out a Friday night show or a Saturday night show. A little loose. A little Pain After Dark. And that will be something that won't be on the podcast. That'll be for subscribers only. So we have the More Pain show, which is for subscribers only on Tuesday nights. People really dig that show. And so I'm told. we have other things that we're going to be rolling out on those platforms. And I really, as I said before, I love the banter on those platforms. People dishing dirt and providing insights without getting attacked or having their life threatened. It's always good. It's always good to exercise your First Amendment without getting death threats, I found. So we appreciate the support on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. We're not, as I've said many times, funded by millionaires and billionaires. And you're getting a front row seat to some of the people and so-called journalists, in quotes, that are funded by millionaires and billionaires. And they're ending up in federal court. I don't want to be one of those guys who said, I told you so, but I am one of those fucking guys who likes to say, I told you so. So we'll get into that later. But there's a lot of stuff to focus on before that, and specifically about COVID, as we listen to a little Grand Funk Railroad, I'm your captain. The song selections tonight is me being a perennial smartass. You have to figure it out. We'll talk about it as the show goes on. Music is so fun to mess with. First story, bait and switch, how they changed the COVID conversation. Do you remember that it was predicted that COVID-19 would kill literally millions of people? Do you remember that hospitals were going to be overrun with patients? And our struggling medical infrastructure was going to collapse under the weight? Do you remember the locking down global society that was only pitched as the single way to prevent this disaster, that we had to do it regardless of how much damage it did to the livelihoods and security of countless millions of people. You remember this? Fauci, 15 days is all we're asking. Otherwise, you're all going to die. Anybody you care about is going to die. Your pets are going to die. Your houseplants are going to die. Final question. Do you know how many people in the United Kingdom officially died of coronavirus yesterday? Died with coronavirus yesterday. 12 people. 12 people. You probably didn't hear about that because sometimes in the last 5 weeks or so, the media completely stopped using the word deaths and started talking about cases. See that? We talked about that on here before, too. A case is anyone who tests positive for SARS-CoV-2 using the notoriously unreliable PCR tests, which produces huge numbers of false positives. They might as well use a PBR test, Pabst Blue Ribbon, at this point. The PBR test, Pabst, are scoring better than the PCR test. Even supposing the positive test is real, the vast majority of cases are asymptomatic. Between false positives, unreliable tests, and asymptomatic infection, a case count for SARS-CoV-2 is borderline meaningless. CDC estimates the infection fatality rate of SARS-CoV-2 to be about 0.26. I'm sure that's inaccurate, just like everything else the CDC estimates. I'd chop that thing in half, make it 0.13. A number perfectly in line with severe flu seasons. Virtually every country in Europe is now reporting average or below average mortality. Broadly speaking, the vast majority of the world is and will likely remain absolutely fine. But things aren't going back to normal, are they? In fact, they're getting worse. The government has got their foot in the door and they have no intention of moving it. Of course they do. They want to move it in the door and up your ass. It's going to be one of those Fridays, Mildred. He's shot out of a cannon. You know, stick around for this one. He's got an edge. Masks are now mandatory in the UK and Australia, New Zealand, Germany, France, and many others. You could also say the United States. I mean, they're not mandatory, but when you can't buy your groceries without a mask on, it's pretty fucking mandatory. The Democrats' nominee for President, Joe Biden, has said they should be mandatory in the U.S. as well. In New Zealand, the patron saint of coronavirus, Jacinda Ardern, has just postponed next month's general election. It's only a month for now. But what if there's a second wave in October and they have to postpone it again? Regardless, the precedent is set. New Zealand has 1,600 cases total in 5 months. They haven't had a reported death since May, but their country is on lockdown and their democracy is on hold. This is prophetic. Getting closer to my home, especially since you're not allowed to leave your home. Oh, and they're shipping positive tests off to quarantine centers in New Zealand, where if you refuse to be tested, you will be detained indefinitely. COVID jail. COVID Gitmo. Australia is locking down cities, even imposing curfews based on 450 deaths. It's all fun and games until someone snaps. And everywhere, the language is changing. The new normal was about beating COVID-19, but now it's about COVID-19 and future pandemics, or the other colossal changes facing humanity, which can literally mean anything they want it to mean. Especially when hobos like Bill Gates are working the puppet strings of these politicians and scientists. I think eventually it's going to implode. People are going to wise up, get off their couches. world history has shown through the years, you get hungry enough. Literally, you get hungry enough. That's when trouble starts. But we'll see how things play out. They've pushed far enough, and they continue to push, and eventually, it's basic physics. You push, you push, and push. Something's going to come back your way. You might not like it. That song was long. I like it. I was able to just get off to a good start. The COVID-19 pandemic is rolling over. The number of U.S. hospitalizations is declining by 1% per day. You don't read that too often, do you? It's rolling over. So we should go with a little Rolling by our friends. A little Limp Bizkit. This will not be a broadcast for the faint of heart. I'm in a fucking mood. We're going to have some fun, I think. For all you guys who say that I swear too much and I'm foul and I'm, what do they say? Lewd, unnecessarily vulgar, vulgarity. What does that mean if that's part of who you are? Just real quick, 30 seconds. I'll do 30 seconds. If you grow up and all your role models, your male role models are men, right? They do that and they're good guys, big hearts. They stand for everything that's right, but they have bad language. Guess who you emulate? Would you rather have good language and be a complete hobo and thief, crook? Bastard. I'm a product of my environment. All the role models that I look up to in my life cursed a lot. And when you get into Intel, fuck's sake. Oh my God. Forget about it. You think Trump sits around the White House with a teacup and says friggin'? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So don't give me your bullshit about swearing and stuff. You have no fucking clue, okay, about what real men out here are doing. And I'm not saying you have to swear to be a real man, but that's the environment I grew up in. So that's who I am. You listen to the show, right? If you can't handle the language with everything we have going on now, and you can't trade off some bad language for the nuggets of intel you're getting on here, you're lost. You need to get the hell out of here. I don't have time for that shit. As Bank of America writes today, Arizona has seen a 66% decline since its peak on July 14th, while the U.S., excluding the four major recent outbreak states, Arizona, California, Florida, Texas, experiencing a 13% decline since the peak on July 30th. There's more. As Bank of America points out, we continue. Why is Bank of America involved in medicine? What is going on here? Just an observation. We continue to see clear signs that coronavirus is rolling over in the U.S. as the vast number of people hospitalized due to COVID-19 declines at a rapid pace, about 1% a day. Actually, it's more than 1% a day. It's 26% in the last 23 days. Extrapolating this rate of decline means there will be zero COVID-related deaths around the November 3rd election day. Oh, isn't that a coincidence? They'll wrap up this quote-unquote pandemic right at the election day. What a a feat that, if marketed properly, could mean the difference for a Trump victory or defeat. There's all kind of graphs and charts on our website, Truponder website, for this story. I still don't understand what the hell Bank of America has to do with medicine, but we'll go with it. It seems like a decent story. The guys who picked it out are always picking out gems, so we'll go with it. We'll trust their judgment. I need some music, man. It's Friday. Let's get some music on here. I almost swore again. You guys are editing. You have me self-editing. I don't like that. Oh, Chuck Berry. Mm-hmm. Riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Young kids out there know who Chuck Berry is?
Yeah, is that a flavor ice cream?
Fuck out of here. It wasn't just Bank of America that had good news in its state-level coronavirus tracker. Goldman Sachs confirmed that the number of new confirmed coronavirus cases continues to decline in the vast majority of states, yet the bank urged some caution, noting that although the nationwide downward trajectory is encouraging, state government officials may wait until case levels decline further before moving forward with additional reopening policies. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll wait until everybody's bankrupt before they open businesses back up. Ironically, there's just one state where there is a tangible number of new cases, the only one which was among the first to permit protests and riots. In late May and early June, as Goldman notes, cases are on the rise in the most populous state of California, which has faced technical difficulties in reporting accurate daily counts. What a surprise. Little Chuck Berry on a Friday. And we are rolling. What do we got next? Nothing beats this old music. I'm sorry. It stands a class above everything else. Okay, here we go. That's the theme song these days. No particular. Where are you going? Nowhere. I don't know. Just going out for a drive. To where to? I don't know. Somewhere where we don't get hassled. Leave your cell phones at home, folks, when you go out for that drive. Keep the feds guessing. A novel breakthrough? Question mark. New studies show memory T cells offer long-term and pre-existing COVID immunity. Now, if you try to search music that's related to T cells, don't have much success. So I found something related to a T bird, and it's summer, so we'll go with the Little Beach Boys. Just substitute Daddy Takes the T-Bird Away. We'll just say Daddy Takes the T-Cells Away, and then we have a song that fits. Bing, bang, boom. It's that quick. On Friday, a new study highlighted by Business Insider shifted focus away from the antibodies and on to memory T-cells, the cells that identify and destroy infected cells. Fun, 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 till the daddy takes the T-cells away. See? That's how. Very easy. T-cells are the cells that identify and destroy infected cells and inform B-cells how to craft antibodies. In addition to a morning pain show with some news, you're also learning biology here, science, and other things. The study, published in Cell magazine, I guess Cell, now suggests that everyone who gets COVID-19 develops T cells that may offer long-term immunity by hunting down the coronavirus at later dates. It's like the IRS if you owe money. Memory T cells will likely prove critical for long-term immune protection against COVID-19. Study says a study looked at blood from 206 people in Sweden who had been exposed to COVID-19 in varying degrees of severity. Regardless of a person's exposure, they develop a robust T-cell response. Till the daddy takes your T-cells away, according to the study. Even those who tested negative to antibodies develop memory T-cells, the study found. Similarly, a study performed in July found that in 36 COVID-19 patients who recovered, all produced memory T cells that recognize and are specifically engineered to fight the new coronavirus. There you go. Little T-cell music. And we go from T-cells to T-birds to T-tops. Now, Smokey and the Bandit, you got your T-top Trans Am. You got Burt Reynolds. You got Sally Fields in the front seat. And we're going eastbound and down. See how? You got to put some thought into these things. In July, according to the study, more than half of the people already had the T-cells. And in the Nature study, more than one-third already had the T-cells. Another study published earlier in August showed that 25 people who never had COVID-19 had memory T-cells that could recognize it. In other words, they had some form of a pre-existing immunity. This is good stuff. This isn't all gloom and doom out there, you know. Oh, everybody's going to die. This shows that we're doing better and that this definitely is not a pandemic. The lifespan of such T-cells can be immense. For example, in a July study, T-cells in blood samples from 23 people who survived SARS were still there 17 years later. The same T-cells could recognize the new coronavirus. 17 years later. And these things linger around longer than Joe Biden. There's a bunch of charts and a bunch of intel on True Pundit on Pain in the Morning. 8/21/20 would be the headline. If you like charts and you like a lot of additional information and science and things like that, it's all there for you. I'm taking a drink, so pardon me for a minute. Trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound. Just watch old Bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears. Jerry Reed, rest in peace. I tell you, all the good ones are dead. It's a damn crime. If you weren't, if you're young enough where you don't understand these guys, check out that Thomas Paine podcast playlist. They just don't make them like this anymore. It's very frustrating. But it's a good time to grow up when this music was coming out because you're so... I think a lot of people out there agree. It's just so well-versed in different music. It's way better than the stuff they're putting... I don't even know what they're putting out today. You know? I listened to them. I'm like, what? People are listening to this? I don't get it. But that's okay. That's what happens when you get old. You're square. Listen to this one. You're going to like this one. Maybe not. JetBlue stands by kicking family off flight over maskless two-year-old. What do we have? Oh, yeah, a little Elton John. Was this kid's name Benny? Because they kicked him off the jet.
Benny's not wearing his mask. He has to leave. Cue Elton John from the cockpit.
JetBlue appears to be standing by his decision to kick a mother and her little kid with six children off a Wednesday flight after one of the children, a two-year-old, refused to wear a mask. Little kids don't want to wear a fucking mask unless it's Halloween and you're giving them some candy. My neighborhood, when you're growing up, it better be a big-ass bar. Don't give us those mini Snickers bars. Don't give us mini Snickers. If so, your cars better be in the garage. Well, you want the big bars. Come on. 2 years old. Putting a mask on. And you can't tell me you can get a mask on a two-year-old when they don't want to wear one. If you don't have kids, good luck with that. You've got a better chance of getting Assange out of jail. Better chance of negotiating Assange's release than getting a mask on a toddler. Sure, you can get the mask on him, but they'll scream for 6 hours straight on the flight. So, put that in your upright table. Despite the original policy specifically stating that small children who struggle to keep a mask on are exempt from the policy, a JetBlue spokesperson now claims the airline updated its mask policy to include children two and older. It's a good thing we give these fucking airline clowns $50 billion cash to bail their sorry asses out because they didn't have enough brains to put money in the bank. Now, your tax dollars are underwriting these fucking criminals in the airlines, and they're hassling you. Figure that out. Unbelievable. You're paying people to hassle you on a daily basis.
During these unprecedented times, our first policy is to keep crew members and customers safe, and we've quickly introduced new safety policies and procedures throughout the pandemic.
JetBlue spokesman Derek Dombrowski said in a statement,
children age 2 and over must wear a face covering consistent with CDC guidelines, which say masks should not be worn by children under age of 2. Warning, 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 circuit board is overheated, warning.
It's fucking dopes. Dombrowski. I know a couple Dombrowskis from the neighborhood. Keep this shit up, you're not going to get any pigs in the blankets during the holidays. No more pierogies for you, Dombrowski. You're hassling little kids. Headline, nightly riots in Portland force businesses to flee. May cause irreparable damage to the city. No, kid, do you think so? You think that might happen? Everybody's leaving the city. You better, if you can't get out by car, you better get on train. After months of continuous protests in Portland, which have finally been declared a riot, the chickens are coming home to roost. Fortunately for the so-called City of Roses, businesses are fleeing the city because, as it turns out, nightly riots do not cultivate a productive business environment. Nightly riots. In fact, between the coronavirus-related forced shutdowns and violent demonstrations, businesses in Portland's downtown area are hemorrhaging millions of dollars between lost revenue and damage caused by protesters. Andrew Hone, CEO of the Portland Business Alliance, said the actual figure of business losses is mind-boggling. Final consequences to the downtown corridor are running calculation it's almost impossible to wrap your mind around. Financial impacts of physical damage is one thing, and it continues to increase, Hone told the television stations, KATU. Then the ongoing loss of revenue to the business community who cannot operate their places of business is also a number that continues to rise. I don't understand why. Best thing you can do to avoid violence confronting these hobos is just get out of town. Take your money, take your business, and get out. Businesses are leaving. We need to start the corner. We need to start to turn the corner now so that this sort of irreparable damage does not last. Hone predicted, you have blocks and blocks of plywood, you have graffiti, you have an accumulation of damages that are unrepaired, an ongoing perception that coming downtown is not a safe place. Do you think so? Pretty good perception. According to the Oregonian, protesters gathered for the 83rd consecutive night on Tuesday, smashing windows and setting fires. The protesters eventually targeted the Multnomah building, the county seat of government, setting small fires inside the building. That's the building that doesn't say here where the police station is. It's not exactly clear how much business the nightly riots have cost Portland businesses. In late June, the estimate was already in excess of $20 million. Nationwide, however, the number could very well eclipse $1 billion when the noise finally quiets. And guess what? Guess what they're going to do? The only two things in life that make it, they're going to ask you to pay for it. Taking a drink here. We need to get back to Luckenbach, Texas.
I don't need my name in the marquee lights. got my song, got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas.
People are getting out of town. A song by, of course, by Waylon Jennings, and sometimes joined in by Willie Nelson, but about getting back to basics. Settle things down. Get away from people who are bad influences and places that are bad influences, bad places, and getting back to the basics. Quiet things down. Story says, when the noise finally quiets, Portland could have lost $1 billion, as I said so.
So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away.
If this COVID situation hasn't taught you or instructed you or shown you or to get back to basics, and I don't know what has, because I think a lot of people's priorities have changed. Life. Maybe they see things that once thought were important are not so important anymore. The chase, the rat race, the hustle, trying to keep your piece or capture a piece of the American dream, it's not easy. It's even worth it when some communists in elected office can just snatch it away from you like you never fucking earned it in the first place or built it in the first place. It's scary. It's fucking scary. It could be a business in your family for generations that you took control of. And you learned from the ground up since you were a kid. Your parents, their grandparents, their grandparents, their grandparents. Gone. Because some guys wanted, and the government wanted to pull a scheme. I thought you had a pretty good life snatched from you by tyrants. And then they try to sell it to you that it's for your own safety. There's an old saying, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Might be piss on my back. I don't know. One of those. But it's apropos.
I told you he's sour.
We continue with the similar story here. A mass exodus away from big cities on both coasts. See what's happening here? We took the last train to Clarksville, and now we're going to do a little loving spoonful. In all of U.S. history, we have never seen anything like the mass exodus of 2020. Hundreds of thousands of people are leaving the major cities on both coasts in search for a better life. This is what I talked about. Lukenbach, Texas style. Moving companies on both coasts are doing a booming business as wealthy and middle-class families flee at a blistering pace. And most of these families do not plan to ever return. It's incredible. Imagine. Have to pick up because of these people. Think about the absurdity of this. Let me just settle into a groove here. And I don't even care. I'm in a good mood today. And however long the show goes, it goes. It's my show, so I'm not under any constraints to keep it within certain time frames of other.
And the average...
get emails.
The average podcast is 45 minutes. You're going way over that. If you want to really succeed, you should really fall within the averages. That everybody, there's millions of podcasts, and yours is way up. Get the fuck out of here with that.
I can't just do what I want to do. We'll go as long as I want to go. Stop sending me emails like that. I don't get it. What the hell does that have to do with anything? I got stuff to say. I listen to some of these other podcasts. They don't necessarily have much to say. So I do. So, well, please leave me alone. Today, don't get me wrong. I love emails and talking to people, but stuff like that.
You're coming and where?
It's like, do I work for you? I don't remember that. Today, Los Angeles is a city on the brink. For sale signs are seemingly dotted on every suburban street as the middle classes, particularly those with families, flee for safer suburbs, with many choosing to leave L.A. together, altogether. British-born Danny O'Brien runs Watford Moving and Storage. There's a mass exodus from Hollywood, he says. Almost half of the entire homeless population of the entire country now lives in the state of California. Did you read that? Is that right? Wait a minute. Let's go back over that. Almost half of the entire homeless population of the entire country now lives in the state of California, and a large proportion of them are addicted to drugs. Needless to say, this has created a nightmarish environment. You know, actually, we talked about this a couple days ago. But I didn't know it was almost half the entire homeless population of the entire country now lives in the state of California. Junkies and the homeless, many of whom are clearly mentally ill, walk the palm-lined streets like zombies. As I said before, that's just in the state house. All just three blocks from the multi-million dollar homes overlooking the Pacific. Stolen bicycles are piled up on pavements, littered with broken syringes. What do we have for this? Let's keep rolling here. People are moving out of town. How about a little El Paso, Chet Atkins? On a per capita basis, drug use is even worse in San Francisco. It's being reported that there is a mass exodus of people looking to get out of San Francisco real estate. According to online real estate company Zillow, mass exodus of people looking to get out of San Francisco real estate as the housing market is on fire in the Bay Area suburbs, all the way to Lake Tahoe. They're going all the way up north to Lake Tahoe. According to the company, 2020 Urban Suburban Market Report, home prices in the city have fallen 4.9% year over year, while inventory has jumped 96% during the same period as a flood of new listings hits the market. People want to get out. Everybody knows that real estate in San Francisco has been bloated for years, ridiculously. We covered this part previously too, but I'll throw it back in. And the state legislature has apparently decided that the mass exodus is not happening fast enough because a bill is being introduced that would impose a new wealth tax on the very, very wealthy. California, man. It's getting out of control. What do we got for California? We got some Dick Dale. We got some... How about some Ramones? Oh, let's see what the Dick Dale song is, California song. Oh, California Sun by Dick Dale. Can't go wrong with that. In the old days, a lot of Californians would just head north to Portland or Seattle. But those two cities are not exactly desirable options at this point. The civil unrest in Seattle never seems to end, and Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf recently said there had been 12 official riots in the first 10 days after federal law enforcement officials left Portland. This story is unbelievable. New York Times previously reported 420,000 New Yorkers had moved out of the city between March 1st and May 1st. Think about that. According to local Fox affiliate, between May and July, there was a 95% year-over-year increase in interest in moving out of Manhattan. According to the most recent data from United Van Lines, between May and July, there were a 95% year-over-year increase in interest in moving out of Manhattan. That compares with a 19% increase in moving interest in the U.S. overall. The top destinations for people who moved out of New York City? Everybody wants to know. If you're moving to New York City, where are you going? Take a guess. Florida and California, which together comprise 28% of relocations. People are going out west where they belong. Dick Dale ripping it up on the microphone. Where else are people going when they're leaving New York? Texas and North Carolina. poor bastards in Texas. They think they're living in a red state. Here come the hobos from New York and California. Just what we need, an influx of communists. They'll ruin Texas too, and then they'll move on to other places. These people are cockroaches. Business after business is shutting down, and that includes some of the most iconic retailers in the city. Dick Dale's lost his mind on that song. We'll go a little bit more. I'm going to take a little drink of water here. JCPenney and Neiman Marcus, the anchor tenants at two of the largest malls in Manhattan, recently filed for bankruptcy and announced they would shutter those locations. The Subway restaurant chain has already closed dozens of locations in New York City in recent months. La Paine, quote, to DN, has permanently closed several of its 27 stores in the city. Plans to leave others closed until more people return to the streets. I have no freaking idea what store that is, but it's not good, obviously, when that many places close because people are out of work. In about 6 months, most of the progress in New York City has made since the dark days of the 1970s and 1980s has completely disappeared. Guys, I said this to you, setting you back generations now. Setting the country back generations. That's the way communists work. Scorched earth policy. Homelessness and poverty are both exploding, and crime rates are shooting into the stratosphere. People in New York moving out. Get the torches and head for the governor's mansion. Let them know you mean business. If you can believe it, the number of shootings in July was 177% higher than for the same month last year. Talking about, we're talking about California, then we talk about New York. I keep up with this stuff. It's zigzagging all over the place. Blackouts force Newsom to admit green energy falls short. Governor Gavin Newsom in California. We go back to California. Picking up a theme here. Blackouts in the failing state of Democratic-run California have forced Governor Gavin Newsom to admit green energy is falling short, falling apart. Newsom says the transition away from fossil fuels has left California with a gap in the reliability of its energy system. He says the state must examine its reliance on solar power and how that fits into the broader energy portfolio. Oh, you mean that green energy doesn't work? These people are insane. How much money have they poured into this? No wonder your state's massively in the red. Today, we are anticipating a substantially greater need for energy, Newsom said at a Monday news conference. He added this greater need is about 4,400 megawatts short of what the state needs. That's 10 times greater shortfall than Saturday. I think Governor Newsom's a few megawatts short, too. Maybe they can recycle the oil in his hair. For some energy. We're recycling the grease in Governor Newsom's hair. It's a new energy project. We failed to predict and plan these shortages, and that's simply unacceptable, Newsom somehow said without bursting into flames. That's funny. California has had decades to prepare for this. No one failed to predict it. They only failed to prepare for it. The writing has been on the wall since 2001, when the state was hit with a series of massive blackouts and soaring electricity prices. The result was the successful recall of then Democrat Governor Gray Davis in the late 2003. He was replaced by equally incompetent Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger. Clean energy! We need clean energy! When I said clean energy, I mean Incredible Hulk! I worked out with Lou Ferrigno! Over the weekend, the former Golden State was hit with its second day of rolling blackouts. I said before, isn't that the name of Governor Newsom's rock band, the Rolling Blackouts? The blackout hit 220,000 homes in the North Bay area. That's not going to be... That's the money area, baby. Officials blamed an unexpected loss of 470 megawatt power plant Saturday evening, as well as the loss of nearly 100,000 megawatts of wind power. What happened, Oprah? Oprah bought another freezer. In addition, cloud cover over the desert meant solar energy was in short supply.
We can't have power today. There's going to be a cloud.
Oh, man.
Can we go to school today? Now the cloud's out. Oh, damn it.
California's also closing down its nuclear power plants, and the sudden shutdown of two conventional power plants contributed to Friday and Saturday's blackout. One was shut down for service in August. The other shut down unexpectedly. And let's not forget that in 2018, the Democrat-dominated state legislature passed a bill demanding the state have 100% climate-friendly electricity. This means no emissions. You know what else it means? No electricity. What? What the hell is going on here specifically? Oh, man, you can't even make it up. Another quick little drink break here, if you'll indulge me. Just another brick on the wall, huh? Headline, Steve Bannon, We Build the Wall organizers are arrested and charged with defrauding donors. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. Well, let's just jump into it here. Folks out there can't say you were not warned by many people. Steve Bannon, former advisor to President Trump, was among four suspects arrested Thursday and indicted in connection with an online fundraising campaign that allegedly defrauded donors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, Justice Department announced. This is the big time. This is the feds. Not some rinky-dink state government coming after you. As we all know, my background on both sides of the table in a federal courtroom, you don't want to go against these guys. This is big, big league. I don't care who the hell you think you are. According to the indictment, I'm falling asleep with this Pink Floyd. It's Friday. Let's jazz this up a little bit. You have some more stuff to cover here. According to the indictment, Bannon and co-defendant Brian Colfage, we all remember Brian. This guy's a piece of work. Told the public they were a volunteer organization, and 100% of the money raised would go toward their stated goal, which was to raise money for the federal government to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Those representations were false, the indictment said. Prosecutors claimed that Colfage, Bannon, Andrew Badalato, and Timothy Shea, this sounds like a bad boys band, took money.
Tonight, one night only, the MAGA boys band. Admission's free, just leave a donation.
They took money for themselves as the campaign raised upwards of $25 million. It's a lot of cash. GoFundMe again. GoFundMe, the new choice of grifters everywhere. The indictment alleges that Bannon received more than $1 million through the nonprofit, and then he used that money for personal expenses and to pay Colfage. About a little Jane's Addiction, been caught stealing, allegedly. Prosecutors say Bannon and others used the nonprofit and a shell company to hide the payments to Colfage by using fake invoices and sham vendor arrangements, as well as other means of keeping the payments quiet. I'll wait till we find out what those other means are. That's going to be interesting. Any other players in this? Wait till these guys start singing. I don't think these guys are very tough. When it comes to these guys, I'm telling you, the feds, they are brutal. They will. They'll tighten the screws on all these guys. They'll be singing like canaries. The indictment stated that in order to raise funds, Colfage and Bannon repeatedly and falsely told the public that Colfage would not take a penny in compensation. According to prosecutors, Colfage instructed payments to be made out to his spouse. This was reflected in a 1099 form from the nonprofit issued, saying the payment was for, quote, media, unquote. When Colfage, Bannon, and Badalato, is that a law firm? Have you been injured at work? Call us at Colfage, Bannon, and Badalato. We're there for you. We don't get paid unless we get money for you. They learned in the fall of 2019 that the endeavor was under federal investigation. They allegedly took additional steps to conceal the fraudulent scheme, the indictment said. That's a rookie-ass move. A lot of people out there think that the feds just show up and you know when you get indicted and you don't know that it's coming. You know that it's coming. You know damn well it's coming. And what you want to do is you want to go back in time and wish you made some moves differently. But one of the worst things you can do is to try to cover your tracks. Song Baby Come Back. You can't come back from this. Once they start snooping around. And one of the main reasons for that is they already have the goods that you're not aware of. Example, when they start snooping around on this and you get wind of it, there's a lot of different ways you can get wind of it. They already have everything. They subpoenaed the banks. They subpoenaed your phones. They subpoenaed your internet. They look at your email. They have all your finances, brokerage accounts, Bitcoin, as much as they can track initially. And guess how they do that? Warrants. Subpoenas. These companies just pump it. They turn it over. Then they start going over everything and they see everything. Right? And they categorize this and chronicle it. Then if you make a wild change, close an account or something like that after, try to conceal things, they got you on that too. By the time you find out that they're after you, they got a boatload of stuff. There's no sense in an investigation at this level with $25 million involved. No sense in trying to cover it up. That's a bad move. And any good defense lawyer would tell you, look, let's just see where this goes, but don't do anything stupid. Because I'll tell you why you don't do that. Because if you are innocent and you got indicted, something went haywire, it's a lot easier to explain to a jury that you got caught up in this or there's been a mistake when the defense has to try to pitch to a jury that not only were you duped or you're innocent, but you also didn't know what you were doing when you tried to conceal the scheme. When the feds came snooping around, that's not going to sell, right? So you're going to be forced into a settlement, a plea. So you can't come back. Baby, come back. Someone's going to federal prison. They'll get you too. You can think you can beat these guys? It doesn't work. Doesn't work. There's more on this story. We'll keep reading about it. I know this stuff. 35 years I worked on both sides. I worked for them. I worked against them. You guys know my story. I've been through this. I've been through it. You can't beat these guys. They're a machine, man. When they show up at your house to arrest you from an indictment, a grand jury indictment, they have a shit ton of information. Shit ton. More than you want them to have, believe me. And if you try to cover it up, that's bad news. That just fuels the guys working the case. Like, all right, you think you're fucking smart? We'll see how fucking smart. And that fuels a good investigator. It's like, look at this guy. Thinks he's smarter than we are? Let's turn things up a notch. Turn things up a couple notches. We were going at half speed. Now we're going at full speed. You don't want to give these guys any red meat, believe me. These guys took additional steps to conceal the fraudulent scheme, the indictment said. They allegedly included using encrypted messaging applications, putting a stop to Colfage's salary payments, and removing texts from the website saying that Colfage would not be compensated, while adding a notification that he would begin collecting a salary in January 2020. These bird brains thought you could change the wording of a website and get away with an alleged scheme like this. But all you folks out there on your encrypted messaging apps, you're kidding yourself. Feds have backdoors to everything, whether the companies that you're dealing with admit it or not. They have to operate in the United States. How do I know that? I created a telecom. I don't know, what was it, 20 years ago? Almost 20 years ago. The feds come in and they say, hey, where's the back door? They literally come in. They say, come down here. We want to talk to you. You're like, okay, let's go down. I think we might get some contracts from these guys. This is really encouraging. We haven't even really launched yet, and these guys want to talk to us. This is great. You walk in there, and you got Department of Defense, FBI, DEA, Secret Service. You name it. Goes on and on and on. Sitting there at the table saying, where's the back door? And you're saying, back door? I guess it's on the other side of the building, sir. I don't know. No. Where's the back door? You got to let us in. Like, wow, we're out of money. We don't have any money to let you in. Well, then you're not going to operate. If you do, you'll be charged with telecommunications fraud. So all the folks out there on their encrypted messaging apps, they all got backdoors to everything, guys. And guess what? This is interesting, too. You have to think this way. Start thinking this way. When they get up on these guys and they're looking at these guys, they contact these places, and then they have a live... Here's what they do with that backdoor. They say, look, we're looking at these guys. Here's the subpoena, right? We're going to wiretap these guys' accounts, and you're going to fucking cooperate. Okay. And then they get live access to everything. So when you message somebody, text somebody through the encrypted messaging app, feds are there watching it. See everything. so they could sit on these guys for a while and show they have a list. They have a chain of evidence that shows that they were trying to conceal their schemes. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but I would put my ass on the line and say, yeah, that's not even putting my ass on the line. I would just say it happened. That's the way you run a good investigation. You get up on the communications. You watch the emails. You listen to the phone calls. You read the texts. You get the backdoor access to the encrypted messaging apps. And you put together one hell of a case. As alleged, the defendants defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors. I remember this case. You remember when they launched it? It was a big deal. Did Trump even retweet this? It was all over the place. All these beautiful people in the media and on the right wing politics, they're all on the board of this We Build the Wall thing. And we're gonna build our own wall. Yeah, we don't need the government. Well, maybe that's true, but you might not need these guys either. I was in a minority along with a lot of other people who were saying, this is a bad idea. This seems like it's not going to be legitimate. I mean, come on, $25 million? You're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. As someone who's looked into these things through the years, time and time again, it's bad news. What else we got here, music-wise? We'll finish up. Little I can't explain. That's a bad position to be in when the feds come. What'd you do this? I can't explain. I got calls all day on this from people wanting my opinion on it. I said, well, let's see how it plays out. I feel bad for anybody that has to go against this Department of Justice, whether they're guilty or not guilty, because they're not going to get a fair shake. But at the same time, if what the indictment alleges is true, then it is what it is. Like I said, folks out there, you got to hold on to your money, be a little bit more discerning with who you give your money to. See people getting played left and right. I just shake my head because you know what? People don't listen to me. They only listen to me 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and now 4 years after I say something. Yeah, that guy said that 4 years ago, 3 years ago. That's crazy. That guy's right a lot about a lot of things, but he's still an idiot. We're not going to listen to him. Okay. People always attack me. Where's my apology? Where the hell's my apology at? As alleged, the defendants defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors, capitalizing on their interest in funding a border wall to raise millions of dollars under the false pretense of all the money would be spent on construction. Acting U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss said in a statement, while repeatedly assuring donors that Brian Colfage, the founder and public face of We Build the Wall, would not be paid a cent. The defendant secretly schemed to pass hundreds of thousands of dollars to Colfage, which he used to fund his lavish lifestyle. I knew things were going to go a little bit haywire when I think Colfage was on one of the social media I don't even know what this is, but we'll go. He was on one of the social media things, Instagram or something, posting a photo of his new boat. And it wasn't a Boston Whaler or a rowboat. It was a pretty big boat. I said, this is not good optics. If it is legitimate, it's not good optics. Let's take a step back and see, though, on a couple things. Some of my thoughts on this. People want to know my thoughts all day. I didn't tweet much on it and things like that. Number one, I have no allegiance to these people. They've done nothing for True Pundit. In fact, they've been obstructionists, guys like Bannon, to True Pundit. But that's okay. I still don't wish ill on the guy when it comes to this because this is a nasty position to be in. I wouldn't wish a battle with the Justice Department on my worst enemy. I wouldn't. But just think if these guys instead raised $25 million to tear down the wall, like a bunch of crazed communists or liberals, or better yet, they charged large speaking fees to foreigners for political access, like Bill and Hillary Clinton, would they still be going to prison? Would they still be indicted? It makes you scratch your head. Legitimate questions. On the flip side, you folks out there, news consumers, recently I've been talking about folks and grifters and people ripping you off, and you seems you're either getting your money stolen by elected officials or their crooked buddies in the private sector, quote unquote private sector, air quotes. The market is very, it works. If you're good at something, you'll get paid. You don't always need to ask for cash from these, like a lot of these talentless career losers are doing, that now have grifted their way into journalism. They're not journalists. Don't let politicians and their grifter friends separate you from your hard-earned cash anymore, especially when that hard-earned cash is harder to come by. That's a general message I've been saying for a long time. We'll see how this we'll see how this plays out. Oh, this is Pantera. Fucking hostile. That's how I feel sometimes. With it going to Rat? I will listen to Rat. I'll tell you why. These guys are going to be asking these guys to rat each other out. Let me tell you how it works at this rate. First one to the lifeboat wins. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be the first one to cut a deal and rat each other out? Oh, it'll happen. You got four guys here. At least three of them are scared shitless. If you play the odds, 75% are willing to cut a deal, maybe more than that. Someone will cut a deal and rat everybody out. And guess what's going to happen too? I heard from some folks today I talked to on the federal side. There's some other stuff cooking against Bannon related to investments from some kind of some Chinese guy. He was arrested on the guy's Chinese yacht, the Chinese guy's yacht today. The Coast Guard arrested this guy. They went out to the yacht. And Bannon's been doing shows, podcasts, or whatever he does. I don't know what he does. I don't pay attention to the guy. From the yacht. He got arrested on a yacht. Up in, Massachusetts or somewhere today? The Coast Guard probably drove right by John Kerry's yacht. He's probably sipping champagne on the stern saying, those gentlemen seem to be in a rush. What's this guy doing on a yacht? It's not very good. As a matter of fact, in court today, and he was arraigned, the federal judge said, you're not allowed on any more yachts or private jets. So his yacht days are over, living on the Chinese guy's yacht. We're hanging out. I don't even understand what's going on with this crowd. Doesn't reflect well on Andrew Breitbart's legacy, for sure. One of the other guys who was arrested was also a contributor from time to time to Breitbart. Baldolato. Andrew Baldolato. And it's unfortunate. It's another black eye. You have to think. This is thinking outside the box. We talk about this almost every single episode. Thinking outside the box. This is another William Barr sponsored indictment. Has Barr indicted any Democrats? From the Biden Obama administration? Think about this. Of course, the Clinton Foundation, we know he rigged that just based on the information I tell you guys we have We did a Wednesday podcast. It's crazy. I got calls today saying, are you some kind of a soothsayer? You have ESP? Your Wednesday podcast plays into all this stuff that Barr protected Biden, protected Obama in this John Durham investigation with a de facto immunity deal. You should listen to the Big Wednesday podcast. Repost it tomorrow. I usually post the good ones on Friday. Repost them on Friday, but then you see this, right? Think of everybody from the White House, Trump's White House, that's gone through the ringer. Flynn, just Manafort. I'm just going off a Stone. It goes on and on and on. These guys are Michael Cohen. They're all Trump guys. Many of them in the White House. Now Bannon. That's a big fucking trophy for justice in the FBI. That's a big, big game trophy. Colfage, right? All these guys. You have to think, okay? These are guys that are GOP. Why is Barr only going after these guys? And then frame that when people say, trust Barr. Barr's a white hat. Barr's a good guy. Is he? Where are the Democrats? Just basic odds, right? If you flip a coin 10 times, is it going to come up heads 10 times in a row? No. So why, when they indict these guys, is it coming up heads 10 times in a row? And I'm not making excuses for these guys. If you're guilty of something, that's the way it goes, and you get caught. That's life. These guys know that. Put on their big boy pants every day or their ostrich coat. Manafort's $25,000 ostrich coat. Oh, that is stunning. Is that going to be the federal auction? Call the U.S. Marshals. I must have that coat. But they're the only ones getting indicted. Guys linked to Trump. Do you really think that Barr is on Trump's side or trying to do Trump any favors? I said on the Wednesday podcast, you got to listen to it. It's crazy. I said, how many favors, what has Barr done to help Trump get reelected? And I said, for people to think, that was on Wednesday. I guarantee they're still thinking about it. They haven't come up with any answers. But these dummies, again, you got to listen to the podcast. I don't want to rehash that whole thing. You look at this, right? This guy was inside the White House, helped Trump get elected. And they're going after him again for other stuff, Bannon. They're looking at him for other things. It's in the Wall Street Journal. There's definite chatter in federal circles. The guys we talk to say, yeah, well, looking at him on other stuff, right? Why haven't the Clintons been indicted? Why do Biden and Obama listen to the Big Wednesday podcast again? Episode 37. Why do they get a deal cut to be protected? This is Barr's DOJ. Why is Flynn still getting sold out? Do you really think this guy's on Trump's side, Barr? You scratch your head. Look at the evidence, is all I'm saying. There are no coincidences at this level in D.C. of the game. This is big boy stuff, and you need to have a big boy attitude and big boy insights, big girl insights to understand these things and accept them. Accept that the things you're being told out there in the marketplace by guys like Bannon, by guys who are paid by Bannon, have been paid by Bannon, the stuff you're being told by these people is complete bullshit. That should be more proof of things I've been saying. So, got pinched on a yacht. I mean, that's not, I can tell you what, if he does time, that's not going to play well in prison. What are you in for? Well, it's kind of rough, you know. You got arrested on a yacht. A yacht? You'll be in my cell tonight, sweetie. And I've had my run-ins with the feds, and I don't wish that on anybody, like I said. Not even a guy like Bannon, and we've had our differences. He's gone out of his way to screw us when he was with Breitbart coming up. It's all water under the bridge. It's like, can't hold a grudge in this business. It'll drive you crazy. So we'll keep an eye on this. We appreciate the folks on True Pundit. A lot of traffic this month. It's been good. And patreon.com/TruePundit. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. We're not funded by millionaires and billionaires, so the patronage on there goes a long way. If you can afford to kick in a couple bucks, you get access to our subscriber-only content, the More Pain Show, which a lot of people think is worthwhile of the money on its own. Plus, all Pain in the Morning podcasts like this, there's a video of it. And we got some other things cooking, as I said, so we appreciate that. And we're not funded by millionaires and billionaires, and you see exactly why. Today, perfect example of why you have to be careful when you get in bed with these people. You end up in federal prison. It's insane. It's a snake pit out there. And there's a powerful people that will do anything and go to extreme measures to make sure that people who are out here trying to tell the truth will get jammed up, locked up, and that kind of thing. So we are funded by you, and we don't have to worry about those things. We sleep well at night. I sleep like a baby. I do. And we're having fun doing this, just shooting the shit and trying to tell you guys straight up and square what's happening, give you straight analysis, and that's that. So we appreciate the support on those platforms. Let's say at the end of every show, take care and God bless. I mean that. We'll see you back here very soon. And from the School of Hard Knocks, a little advice to Mr. Bannon. Don't hang out on yachts when you know the feds are chasing you. You got to get a little bit more creative. You got to go underground.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea. And he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we say,